Support for Creatively Speaking comes from the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts and the listeners of WRTI.
I don't know what I hear in myself. I mean, I know that there's definitely the blues thing comes out. I know that. And when I sing it, I feel at home. When I sing Spanish music, because my mother used to play that, a whole different side of me comes out. Maybe even the movies that I watched with my mother at night, the schmaltzy movies with those beautiful songs, you know, from the 40s and 50s that were even in the movies. I think that's a big part of me. And then, of course, your life is your sound. All the ways you accept life or don't accept it, that's all going to come out in your sound. I think of some singers, you know, that sounded a certain way when they were young, Dinah Washington, just a lot of singers that sounded one way when they were young, and then look at how their voices changed and how their styles changed.
And has that been the case with you?
My style has definitely taken on a lot of character. I'm not saying that's a good character or not, but it's taken on a lot of different dimensions, of course, because of all the life influences, but I want to be careful because I think that how life affects you can also come out in your music, and especially singing. And so I want to be careful not to get a hardened sound. Hmm. I sometimes hear that in different people. There's maybe an anger or something that's coming through.
Sure.
And I want to be careful of that because I don't want that in my music. And so the only way to not have that in my music is to not have that in me. And so
but surely if you're going to emote, you have to have all the good stuff and
absolutely,
the bad stuff.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, I can use that a certain way, but I don't want to use it in a bitter way.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, anger is great. Anger can really make you, yeah, it can give you that punch. But I'm just saying, when anger kind of starts to settle, you know, and turn someone bitter, that's what I don't want in my sound. A bitterness. And I've heard that sometimes once in a while. And so I want to be careful that it always, you know, puts out a different kind of a joyous thing. Even if it's angry, it can be joyous anger.
You're now on the point of, we hope, becoming the least well-kept secret.
Oh, well, that would be
in
nice.
In music. Do you think this is the right time now for you to become this pearl in the shell, so to speak, or would you have been happy for it to have happened 10 years ago? Do you feel, from a personal and from an artistic point of view, that this is would be a good time for you to make it big, so to speak?
Well, that would be great. That would be just fine. I'm certainly maybe more comfortable with myself, mm-hmm. as a person, as a woman, you know, maybe more so than I was even 10 years ago. I've gotten to be more comfortable in life, you know, so things don't rattle me very much anymore, you know, and maybe that's good. You know, sometimes I think sometimes things coming later in life are good.
A taller tree, a sweeter love, a and maybe come September, I'll share these wonders with my love.
Maybe September, a track from Jackie Ryan's latest CD, This Heart of Mine.
Looking Glass Alice is an innovative reinterpretation of Lewis Carroll's most famous stories, Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass, both written in the mid-1800s and centered around a little girl, Alice, who finds herself in a fantasy world of talking animals and game objects, like playing cards and chess pieces. Although the Looking Glass Theater premiered this show just 2 years ago, they're working with familiar material. Nearly 20 years ago, a group of students from Northwestern University staged another version of these very Lewis Carroll stories. The experience was so successful that they formed a company, calling themselves the Looking Glass Theater Company, a nod to the fantastical and imaginative influence of Lewis Carroll. When the Chicago group moved to a new home in 2005, they decided to revisit the Carroll stories that launched them in 1988, but this time with a new flair, circus arts. Influenced by the dazzle of Cirque du Soleil, the Looking Glass Company has a knack for incorporating the theatrics of circus skills, juggling, clowning, swinging from ropes, with adaptations of literature. Artistic director David Catlin, adapter of Looking Glass Alice, says the Lewis Carroll materials pair very nicely with the acrobatic physicality of the show.
Alice in Wonderland, it's about believing in that sort of impossible thing, where circus is an expression of pushing the human body to an impossible place or a barely possible place. And there are a lot of characters in this story that fall. She falls down a rabbit hole. Humpty Dumpty falls off a wall. So there's a theme of floating and being off balance that is very prevalent throughout both works. And there's something dizzying about being at a circus and experiencing it. So it seemed to fit what we were on about.
The element of surprise is another common theme that Looking Glass Ensemble member Larry DeStassi, who plays the White Knight, sees in the circus artistry and Carroll stories. He says the writing of Carroll plays with people's perceptions, keeping them on their toes and guessing what will come next.
I think circus does some of that, too. You see people doing things that you would not expect them to be able to do. There's that sense of awe causing the audience to gasp and, you know, be surprised and see things that they can't quite believe, which he loved so much and did so beautifully with wordplay, and we're trying to physicalize that experience.
DeStassi says the physical experience of the show is tailored to the talents and skills of the Looking Glass Alice cast members, which makes it very difficult to replace any cast member. This also underscores the importance of safety for the performers, though Lauren Hurt, who plays Alice, is evidence that accidents do happen.
I'm sitting here talking with you, and I guess on your left hand, your middle finger, you have a splint there.
Yes.
So it suggests to me that it isn't always smooth sailing.
Yeah, no, of course not. I think we are all battling things. Right now, the more obvious thing, of course, is my finger, which I jammed and hurting it pretty bad. It's okay, though, and hopefully it'll be fine for the run. But, I mean, just throughout, because it is such a physical nature, there's always a lot more concern and room for injury and error. You know, I think several people in the cast have had shoulder injuries. One I'm battling right now a little bit. A lot of ice packs go through the cast. We have mounds of ice packs.
In addition to the show being flexible to the makeup of its cast and their health, it must also adjust to the different venues in which it's performed. The circus style of the production calls for a system of ropes, scaffolding, and plenty of room for acrobatic play. Since the beginning of the year, the show has been on tour, a month at the McCarter Theater in Princeton, New Jersey, and also the New Victory Theater in New York, both proscenium houses designed for audiences to be on one side of the stage. Their stages are very different from the Looking Glass Theater home, which is in the round. Accordingly, Larry DeStassi says Looking Glass Alice never looks the same as it moves around.
It's not your typical touring show where you just pull it out of a box, set it up, do it in your traditional theater, and it's done. This show changes drastically every single space we go into.
Even so, of all the theaters that the show has been performed in, the Arden Theater space is the most similar in setup to the Looking Glass home, and it's already a familiar place for the Chicago-based company. They brought their adaptation of Charles Dickens' Hard Times to the Arden in 2004, and they have a close relationship with the Philadelphia company. The Looking Glass founders were classmates at Northwestern University with Arden founders Terry Nolan, Amy Murphy, and Aaron Posner. Director David Catlin.
It almost feels like we're coming home in a way because we have such a long history with Terry and Amy and Aaron Posner. And because we've been here to the Arden before, it does feel like an Eastern Coast home for us.
Capping off its East Coast tour with a month-long run at the Arden Theater, Looking Glass Alice will soon return home to Chicago for an open-ended run beginning this summer.
The Fairmount Park Art Association was chartered in 1872 to give artistic expression a place in the midst of the industrialization of so much of city life. initially focused on adding sculpture to the vast landscape of Fairmount Park, as the years went by, its purview grew to include the city as a whole. As Philadelphia and its neighbourhoods have evolved, so has the concept of public art. Now WRTI's Susan Lewis explores one of the association's most recent completed projects that actively celebrates the relationship between art and community.
New Landmarks, Public Art, Community, and the Meaning of Place was born about 10 years ago when the Fairmount Park Art Association leaders noticed that sculpture and other public art was largely concentrated in Center City. Penny Balkin-Bach is executive director of the Fairmount Park Art Association. She says that while New Landmarks was in some ways a new concept, it built on Philadelphia's strong history of creating art that mirrors its people.
For example, the Joan of Arc sculpture that sits near the museum, that was a commission that the Art Association arranged with the French community in Philadelphia for their centennial. These ideas of community involvement, of diversity, of celebration, are really traditions.
Seeking to encourage and facilitate this tradition, New Landmarks played matchmaker, with applications from community groups on the one hand, and artists on the other. Communities described themselves, their ongoing projects and initiatives. Kay Sakura is director of a group within the Manayunk Development Corporation called the Schuylkill Project.
It is interested in reconnecting people to the waterfront in the Manayunk through East Falls area.
New Landmarks paired Manayunk with the two-person art team of local artist Diane Pieri and Seattle-based Vicky Scorey, although Scorey left the project for other commitments after the idea was chosen. On one windy day, Pieri said they began by exploring the neighborhood.
We walked around and we noticed that there were these extended steps in front of people's houses. If they don't have steps, they have couches or stadium chairs or anything that would bring kind of like a living room atmosphere out onto the front of their houses.
These outdoor gatherings were welcoming. The idea of bringing this stoop culture to the canal by creating freestanding stoops was enthusiastically embraced by the community. Pieri designed 9 concrete bases to be decorated in tile designs with themes of Manayunk and placed at intervals along the canal. A painter by training, Pieri started with a brush, painting each of the 9 stoop designs. The paintings and Pieri then went to Italy, where she picked out thousands of hand-cut Venetian glass tiles, color by color. Fabricators enlarged each design, cut them into jigsaw-like shapes, and set them in sheets that were then shipped back to Philadelphia. 3 installers then laid the tile on the 3-dimensional concrete shapes. The result? Bench-like stoops and a spiral stoop. Stoops with images of hills, turtles, and fish. A stoop covered with the vibrant design of a Navajo rug, like the kind created in Manayunk when it thrived as a mill town. A garden stoop. And water stoops. Community members followed the installation with interest and a little help here and there.
I actually let them use all my water here. They needed water for the cement.
Linda Westfall, owner of Sportsworks on Main Street, has been in Manayunk for 20 years. She says nearly everyone has some interest in the canal.
People fish on the canal. You know, the people that have lived here forever, their ancestors worked in the mills. It has historic value. I run, I walk my dog, I go out and sit on the stoop and just meditate. Get a little break.
These community projects can stretch out over time. Manayunk was one of the first applicants nearly 10 years ago. The Schuylkill project director, Kay Sakura, says that since then, neighborhood culture everywhere has changed. Demographics, and with them habits, have evolved as young people, as comfortable socializing on computers as on front steps, move in.
The change in the neighborhood is it's still residential. The business community's pretty much stayed on the Main Street area, but has become college age. And they don't stoop sit, so it becomes a historic reference.
The stoop art project may have all that much more meaning as it reinterprets an old tradition and introduces it to a new generation. Fairmount Park Art Association Director Penny Bach says the new landmark commissions often look to the past to create something contemporary and can thereby reach across generations.
They tend to have a resonance with the people who have lived in the community for a long time, as well as people who are upcoming and new in the community, because there really is a meaning behind the work itself, and the work really encourages people to figure it out.
However beautiful, will the stoops help bring out people to the river as originally intended? Those at the Schuylkill Project are counting on it. According to Gwen Cohen, project manager, the stoops are just one step, so to speak, in plans that reach even beyond the canal banks.
And they're looking out over the island, which will be parkland, which is being developed. It's a nice connection.
The next Schuylkill venture is Lower Venice Island, set to break ground in spring 2009 on land between the canal and the river. Plans include a 5-acre park, performance space, athletic fields, and river access. With Manayunk and two others complete, New Landmarks has two more projects in development, one at 23rd and Berks and one in Elmwood Park. Meanwhile, in Manayunk, the stoops, colorful and welcoming, stand ready, just waiting for someone to come and sit.
WRTI's Susan Lewis.
Creatively Speaking is a production of WRTI in Philadelphia. Support for the program comes from the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts and the listeners of WRTI.